It's hard to take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith, but you gave me a promise that you would never leave.
Man, oh yeah.
and feel all alone. Whatever it is, give it to Jesus. No issue too small. He's a God of the cross, and His mercy covers all. Whatever your past, whoever you are, come to the Savior. Just come. Come see a man with the nail-scarred hands. Come be renewed. Come and be changed. Come and be healed from all your sin and shame. Experience peace. Come see the man who walked on water, the man who calmed the sea, the man who offers refuge to all who will believe, the man who died for sinners and set the captives free. This is my Savior, this is God's Son. He's calling to you, so just come.
Chapter number 4 for our message today, 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. And once you find your place, if you'll stand with me, if you're physically able to do that, we'll read a few verses and then pray and ask God to be able to bless here today. 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 9. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the people that you've brought here today, this final day of the missions conference. I'm sure the people have been pondering all week long about what they're going to be able to do financially, as well as what they've done with their heart and their commitment to help this church reach the lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you might be pleased with all that takes place today. Thank you for the ones who've come here for this Sunday morning worship service. I pray you'll speak to our hearts in a very special way. I pray, Lord, for there be one here today who's never been saved. I pray that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard in the song just a few moments ago. And then I pray that you'd bless every Christian, that we will realize our obligation to give ourselves and give our support and give our substance for the cause of world evangelization. Now, thank you for the privilege to preach. I pray you'll take me as your servant. cleanse me, first of all, of any sin. Then empty me of self. And then, Father, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what you would have me to say in the time that I have to say it, to minister to these thy people who've come here today. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The Apostle Paul, the great church planting missionary evangelist, finds himself in prison now, and he's up in age, and it's believed that when he wrote this letter, he was in his second imprisonment, about to be martyred because of his stand for serving Almighty God. So we find the Apostle Paul here in prison, and he had some time while he was there to do some thinking. And I do a lot of thinking sometimes when I'm flying. I fly a lot, and all preachers ponder about things that go on in ministry, things that go on in the lives of people. And some of us don't always get as much sleep as we need because you're always thinking about this particular church member or that particular church member. So the Apostle Paul here now has some memories. He begins to focus on some memories of some people that have worked with him. Any pastor will tell you that a successful ministry is not just based on what the preacher does. You've got to have some co-laborers. You've got to have some people that will take what you believe in and take it out and expand it. I learned a long time ago that a great church is not made up of a pastor leading people. It's made up of a pastor leading leaders. Everyone at some point in time has a God-given responsibility to minister to someone else. So Paul was blessed to have been surrounded by some faithful companions, some men and women that helped him accomplish what he did for the Lord. In Romans chapter 16, don't look there, but he mentions more than 25 men and women who had served with him in his church planting ministry. Now, I've been in the ministry for some 35 years, and I oftentimes think of men and women that were there in the early years, those that came in the banquet room. I remember some people who came in the storefront who wouldn't come in the banquet room, and some people who came in the building that wouldn't come in the storefront, and on and on. People are kind of selective about where they're going to serve God. You know, some people think that unless you have a big, beautiful building with a steeple on it, they're not going to come and serve God. So, but we as preachers are all thankful that whatever level of ministry, God puts people there to be able to stand and serve and help us to accomplish what he's given the church the responsibility to do. So Paul, now in prison, about to be martyred, about to be killed for those things that he'd done for the Lord, and he begins to focus on some co-laborers, some people that work with him. During his final days, once again, he mentions three men that at one point in time were faithful laborers in the work of the Lord, and he begins to ponder on them. As he thought of them, each one of these laborers, each one of these men that has stood with him at some point in time in the ministry, as he ponders on them, he gives his thought to each one of them, and each one of them brought a different feeling or a different thought to his mind. He would think about this person and think about what he was doing or what he did at that time and what he's doing now. He would think about this person and what he's doing now or what he's not doing now. And he would think about that. And each one of those brought thoughts to his mind. Sometimes in the ministry, the people that may have brought the most joy to your heart at some point in time will bring the most sorrow to your heart. This is what Paul was going. And by the way, that's life. That's what the church is. That's the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ went through when Judas betrayed him, and he thought about that. All of these things we ponder on all the time. As he's in prison now, he focused on these three men here that have been working with him. We find he talks about a man by the name of Demas, one by the name of John Mark, and one by the name of Luke. I oftentimes call this a portrait of
Christian service. If you analyze these men, you will find a Demas, a Mark, and a Luke in every local New Testament church on the face of the earth. And I think about this, if you want to have a portrait of Christianity, each one of these contributed in some way to the work of God in a positive way or a negative way. And now Paul is thinking about that. He's thinking about these men, the reflection. I think about missions. I think about the local church. And I think about what we're trying to do. I like what Pastor says. The very first Sunday when the church first started, I'm sure he was not in a building like this. Because I've been around here, this is not the same place I first preached in. And you think about that. And I'm sure that from time to time he thinks about some people that might have been there then and what they contributed and where they were the last place and now where they are this place. And you think about all of this when you go to the ministry. But I'm thankful that he said, regardless of the building, regardless of the congregation, regardless of who is here or there, one thing that has always been there, God's given the church a ministry and a mission to perform. And I think sometimes people don't understand that. I have literally pastored where I can think of right now of 125 plus families that are all around the world at some point in time. Some used to sing in the choir. Some would do this. And these are people that have left for good reasons in our local church. But I also have a longer list of people at one point in time, from the banquet room to the office to the hotel to the storefront to the building that we're in, that I don't know where they are or what they're doing now, but you still think about those people. And when you think about these men, Demas and Mark and Luke, they give us a portrait of Christian service in the local church. But sometimes we fail to understand that no matter who's there, the mission of the church is always the same. And I want us to look at this for just a moment. And I want to entitle this, Three Attitudes Toward Missions in the Local Church. And each one of these names and people who are like these people, in some way, they have an impact on the mission of the church. Keep in mind, the mission of the church, the plan of God that's authentic, that plan that's assured, that promise, that plan that's accomplished by that power is only advanced by people. And the people that are supposed to be involved in it sometimes have the attitude of Demas, sometimes they have the attitude of Mark, sometimes they have the attitude of Luke. But the mission never changes in the local church. And I want you to find your place here in this portrait. And I want us to look at these men that at one point in time stood with the Apostle Paul as he was church planting and reaching a world. And now in prison, he focused on these names. And some brought joy and some brought sorrow. But Paul's purpose never change. The first one I want you to look at here in verse number 10, notice what it says. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed to Thessalonica. Demas hath forsaken me. Now I want you to hold your finger here and turn back to Colossians chapter number 4 for just a moment. Colossians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He's writing this letter to the church of Colossae. And Paul is saying, I want to tell you something. Luke, the faithful physician, and Demas greet you. So here we're saying at this point in time, he's writing back to the local church and he sends his greeting from Luke and for Demas because both of them were faithfully serving the Lord. Let's turn forward to Philemon, just past 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Philemon 24. Marcus, Aristarchus. And then he says, Demas, Lucius, my fellow laborers. Now here's the Apostle Paul in prison. And he thinks about Demas. And the thoughts are run to his mind. When I was writing Colossae, Demas was there. When I wrote about in the book of Philemon, Demas was there. When I was out doing some things for the work of God, Demas was there. He said Demas at one point in time was a man, a servant in the church that had a respectable position. He was a worshiper of Christ. He was a worker in the church. He walked consistently. He witnessed courageously. And as he was in prison, he must have thought about all the wonderful things this man Demas had done for the cause of Christ. He held one time a respectable position in the church that included worshiping Christ, working in the church, walking consistently, and witnessing for Christ. Those thoughts crossed his mind. But then another thought crossed his mind. He said, I not only remember his respectful position he held in the church, but now I'm focusing on a very regretful problem that he had. Look what he said in verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatius. He said, Demas. Demas at some point in time, who worked with me, walked consistently, witnessed. I mean, this man was a part of the work that I was doing in establishing local New Testament church. And what a joy that brought to my heart. But now he says, I'm saddened. He said, this person who had that respectable position now has a regrettable problem. And here's what he says. He loved the world. Having loved this present world. As a matter of fact, he so loved this world until he left that work one time he was so committed to. And now he is looking for wealth some other place. And Paul says, the man that stood with me and worked with me and witnessed and walked and did all of these wonderful things, that the cause of Christ may be accomplished, has now left the work, loved the world, and ruined his testimony. When I think about Demas, I call him a renegade. I got one amen. Let me pause for a moment. Tomorrow is Monday. And guess what I'm doing at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning? I'm on a plane, Lord willing, Delta. And I leave the beautiful state of Arizona and go back to the beautiful state of Virginia. So I'm telling you that to say that I'm leaving here and you all are still here. So it's not gonna affect me if you say, oh me, I'm still going to preach. Anybody who loved the world more than they love the work of God is a renegade. A renegade kind of a servant. And you see this all the time. You see, peace, there will be in every local church renegade Christians who will make commitment to God, who will love something in the world so much they'll leave their commitment. You mark it down. And what suffers? The work of God. Oh, you ought to make up your mind today. One thing is for sure, that I believe so much in the work of God and in the local New Testament church and worshiping Jesus Christ, that I am never going to be a having renegade attitude, that I love my job, I love fame, I love the world, I love what it offers the most, that I'm going to leave the work of God and go
find something else to do that takes me away from that which is the heartbeat of God. He was a renegade, and he ruined his testimony. Demas hath forsaken me. And the question ought to be today, when I make up my mind that I'm a part of the work of God, this is not about the church, it's about the work of God. I'm privileged to be part of a local fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist church where my time is more valuable in the church. My talent is more valuable in the church. My treasure is more valuable in the church. And you mark it down. Either we will forsake Christ because we love the world, or I will forsake the world because I love Christ. May God help us. The problem we're reaching the world today is that the average church in the world today has too many renegade servants. Start out respectful, end up regretful because they love what the world offers more than what Christ has given them. Doesn't mean that they didn't worship. Doesn't mean they didn't witness. Doesn't mean they didn't work. Doesn't mean they didn't walk at some point in time consistently. But little by little, the love of the world and the things of the world will cause us to love the world, leave the work, and look for something we're going to find better than what I have in Jesus Christ. God help us to guard ourselves so much that I won't become a renegade when it comes to reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Demas hath forsaken me. Now, Luke's got problems too, but if you endure Demas, you'll be okay when I get to the next one with Mark. Mark wasn't quite as bad, but he had some of the same problems. He goes down to verse number 11. He says, only Luke is with me. Then he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, before I give Mark his title, I want you to turn back with me to Acts chapter number 12. And let's take a look at this man's life. Demas has forsaken me. But he's writing, he's in prison now. He thinks about Mark. What about Mark? Just like Demas, he began to think about the value of having John Mark with him in the work of God and all the joy that it brought to Paul's heart when he thought about John Mark. In Acts chapter 12, notice verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Verse 25 in the same chapter. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. Notice this. And took with them John, whose surname was Mark. The first thing I want you to notice about John Mark. Picture Paul. I'm in prison. I'm about to be martyred for my faith. Demas has forsaken me. He's left the work because he loved the world. He's ruined his testimony. But I remember when he used to walk with Christ and work in the church and witness. And then Mark, I remember he said, when Mark was so resourceful. As a matter of fact, Mark was the kind of Christian that loved the work of God so much, they held prayer meeting in his house. Mark loved God and loved mission so much until when we went on our first missionary journey, of all the men we could have taken, we took with us John Mark. Oh, how resourceful he was. Acts chapter 15. Look there for a moment. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark.
Now notice this. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Here's a man that's recorded in the scriptures that loved the work of God so much, loved the mission so much, that in the time of persecution, he had prayer meeting in his house. When they wanted someone to go on their first missionary journey, they took John Mark. But that same man who was resourceful in the work of God became rebellious toward the work of God. And Paul said, we can't take him with us because he left the work. Here's what his problem was. As long as things were easy, when he went on the first missionary trip, it was all hallelujah. Things are great. We're just having a good time. But on the second trip, he had to do some things that were kind of hard. And then he decided, I better go back home to mama. And he left the work of God. I've seen Christian after Christian start out on fire for how they love God and love the church and love missions and love the work of God until they find out that there's some things I have to do, like tithe and give offerings and be faithful and sacrifice and do some things that I didn't plan on. And all of a sudden, this is too hard. I better go back to mama's house. And become rebellious. But still, there's 7.4 billion people around the world that could be reached if resourceful people didn't become rebellious, because the work of God must go on. John Mark, I call not a renegade, he's a runaway. I can't tell you what the church would be like and the world would be reached if we didn't have so many Christians who run away. We think Christianity is easy. We think all I have to do is what pleases me. But the moment it costs me something, the moment I have to sacrifice, the moment they talk about doing more and increasing my giving and witnessing and soul winning and putting up with some things, all of a sudden we become rebellious and the work of God suffers. Less missionaries go to the field because there are too many runaways. But what I like about John Mark is back in our text, if you look back in 2 Timothy, he started out resourceful, then he became rebellious. But then he was restored. I like this because this fits both of us. This is where we are. He said in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Then look what Paul said. Keep in mind in Acts chapter 15, he said, we're not taking him. We're not taking him. He left the work. He wouldn't stand. I'm not taking him on the second missionary journey. But somewhere along the line where his rebellion was, he turned and said, I want to be used of God again. And he says, bring with you Mark. Why? For he is profitable for me for the ministry. You know what John Mark says? I may be resourceful and mess up a little bit, I may get rebellious, but there's a God in heaven who's a God of second chances. And John Mark realized this thing about serving God is pretty good. He repented, returned, was received, and once again was resourceful. Thank God that I've pastored long enough where I have seen people go from being resourceful to rebellious to restoration and the second time around become some of the greatest Christians for the cause of Christ you ever want to see. Would to God we'd have more Christian people today that just understand there's nothing greater than serving Almighty God. There's nothing better than giving what I have to the cause of Jesus Christ. John Mark was a runaway, but here's a runaway that got restored and was profitable for the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the joy it brought to his heart when he went from how he served with me, rebelled against me, and now back to serving with me? And by the way, don't look at all that strange. Some of you might have been there. You might have been at one time when you were serving God and you let him down a little bit and you came back and God reached out and grabbed you and said, come home, my child. That's the kind of God that we serve. John Mark was a runaway who came back home. But then there's a third fellow here that I want all of us to strive to be like. Demas was a renegade who loved the world so much he left the work of God. John Mark was very resourceful, went on the first missionary journey, had prayer meeting in his house, but came a time when things were a little tough for him and he became rebellious. But at the end, he was restored. He realized how good it was to serve God. Repented, returned, was received, and became resourceful again. But then there's a man by the name of Luke. He said in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Who's this guy, Luke? Well, I'm glad you asked. Luke is kind of one of those fellows that in the church that every pastor longs to have. One of those kind of people that every church has to have. He was what I call the reliable Christian. The reliable servant. The reliable giver. The reliable soul winner. The reliable church member when it came to the things of God. Look at Acts chapter 16, and I want you to see some things about this man, Luke. Luke the physician. Luke the writer of Acts. And the book of Luke. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse number 7, if you have that place. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now watch this. Paul has this vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, Luke is writing this story about what happened that day when Paul had the vision, the Macedonian call. Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Luke is this steadfast Christian that started strong. Notice when it changed from they in verse 8 to we in verse 10. In other words, Paul didn't just hear the cry. Luke heard it too. Paul didn't just respond. Luke responded too. Paul didn't just obey the command. Luke obeyed too. He was the kind of Christian that started strong. When he got into this thing, he got in there strong. It went from Paul, it's not about you all, it's about us. I sense, I feel what you felt. He started strong. Now keep in mind, he's the writer of the book of Acts. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. Here's the difference with what Luke did and even what John Mark did. Acts chapter 27. Verse number 1. And it came, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. You'll notice if you read down here, we won't have time to do that. If you read all of these verses while Luke is writing, in the midst of the storm that they were in, he kept saying, we, us. You get to chapter number 28 after the ship was wrecked. He says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that it was the island called Melita. And then he says, and the barbarous people showed us. He not only started strong, but Luke was the kind of Christian that got involved in the work of God. He stayed during the storm. In other words, he's saying, what I heard, what I saw, what I felt about the work of God, even the storms that we go through in life, won't turn me back from serving Almighty God. He was the steadfast Christian. So here he is, starting when Paul had the Macedonian call, he got involved. He stayed with Paul in the midst of the storm. And guess what? Paul, in a few days, about to be martyred for his faith in Christ. And guess who is still there? Luke. Only Luke is still with me. I call him the reliable servant. Thank God, in the 35 years that I've been in the ministry, there have been some men who stayed when we were on the mountaintop, stayed when we were in the valley, and stayed every place in between. They stayed for all that was happening in the local church. They stayed through the building program. They stayed through 33 mission conferences. They stayed every time we had to take a special offering. They stayed every time we had to raise money for a missionary. They stayed even when they lost their jobs. They stayed because the work of God meant a lot, so much to them that they said, I'm going to start strong, but God's so good and the work of God's so wonderful. Come on, storms. Come on, Satan. Come on, sin. Come on, self. I'm steadfast, unmovable, because I'm in the work of God. Can you imagine what missions would be like and what churches would be like if we had more Lukes? If we had folks that are saying, the salvation I got in Jesus Christ is so wonderful, I can't ever lose it. I can't give it away. I can't mess up. Heaven's my home. God's my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit's my Comforter. The Bible's my guide. I mean, when I have something that wonderful, come on, storms. I started strong. The storms may come. The prison may show up. I'm sticking with Jesus all the way. He was reliable. We thank God that Demas helps the church somewhere along the way. And any pastor, I've been through banquet room, office, storefront, to buildings. I had some people in the banquet room that are no longer there. Some people in the office that are no longer there. Some people that are in the storefront, 10 years were there, no longer there. Been 23 years in the building now. Some people who walk with Christ, worship, and witness, but came to the point they love something in the world more than they love the work of God, and they left the work of God and look for grass greener some other place. I thank God that I've had some marks who were so resourceful, prayed every Saturday morning with me, went soul winning, and came to a point where they're actually, things got a little too tough, and they rebel. But I'm glad. I think of a young lady in our church that I performed the wedding for a number of years ago, and left the church for 8 years. 8 years left the church, rebelled, I was like, she was like a daughter to us in the church. Left for 8 years. Several years ago, she came back and by her own choice, stood up in front of the whole church and talked about the mistake she made being in the wilderness for 8 years. And God brought her back home. Faithful, has a son that's in, a daughter now is 11th grade in a Christian school. Son's a freshman at Bob Jones University. She is as most loyal as any church member you can ever have. And she'll tell you point blank. And she used to sing in the choir. Kid was in our child care center. This kid was baby boy now. He's a freshman in college now. It came a time, as resourceful as she was, she left the work for 8 years. And when she came back, she stood up and said, I was in the wilderness, and God brought me back to my church, and they've received me, and I want to be as resourceful as I could ever be in the work of God. But I got folks in our church, like her sister, who was there from the very first time we met in the banquet room. Runs our nursery, runs our child care center. Been in the banquet room, been in the office, been in the storefront, been in this building for 23 years. As steadfast, reliable as any person can ever be. That's the work of God. That's the church of God. But the sad thing we don't understand, that every time there's a renegade, every time there's a runaway, the world suffers in some way. And we thank God that runaways can come back. We feel bad that renegades sometimes don't come back. But we need to give a lot more credit to those reliables. That should not be the abnormal. That should be the norm. And God's local church, because of all that he's done for us. Remember this. The mission of the church is missions. What you do with self, support, and your substance is going to determine your attitude. Don't be a renegade. Don't let hard times call you to run away. Just make up your mind that the work of God is worth me being reliable. When things get tough, I want my preacher to be able to think about me and says, he's still with me. She's still with me. We're still going forward for the work of God. What kind of attitude will you have in your commitment to world evangelization from this conference? Will you be a renegade, a runaway, or will you be reliable? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe you're here today. You can't be that kind of a servant or that kind of a Christian because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't be reliable. Nothing you could ever do is going to please God until you give him your heart. How many men, women, boys, and girls are here to say today, preacher, I know one thing for sure. I may have a little bit of that renegade spirit. I may be a runaway. I may be reliable. One thing is settled in my heart. I know that I'm a Christian. If you know that, would you slip your hands real high? Real high. That's settled in my heart. You may put them down. Normally, I said again, everybody here could not raise their hands. How many men, women, boys, and girls were here will say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me that I might trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Pray for me. I want to do that in my closing prayer. I won't call your name because I don't know it. But if you're not 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Would you slip your hand up for just a moment that I might pray for you? Man, woman, boy, girl, anyone like that here at all? Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. But I'm sure I don't want to go to heaven, to hell. Anybody like that? Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Here's what we're going to do. Maybe you're not a renegade, but there's some things in the world
that got you leaning. If you're not careful, you'll love the world so much you'll leave the work. Maybe you're not as faithful as you ought to be, not as consistent as you ought to be. Maybe it's because of things in the world that gotten a hold of you. You ought to find your place here at the old-fashioned altar today and say, God, help me not to become a renegade. Help me to be more faithful to church and faithful to the things of God. Maybe you're not even a member of a good church. You can't please God if you're not a member of a good Bible-believing church. Maybe you say, preacher, you know, I'm a little bit like Mark. I'm not as resourceful as I used to be. I used to go soul winning. I used to give more. I used to do more. But I kind of slacked off a little bit. I need to be resourceful again. Would you pray for me? And then maybe you're like some people I know that's here, because the church wouldn't be what it is today. You're just reliable. You're just so thankful you'd be saved and nothing's going to move you. You started strong. You're going to stay in the storm. You're just going to be steadfast. Maybe you ought to say, God, help me to stay that way. There's a devil out there that would love to destroy me. Help me to do my very best. Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for this portrait of Christian service that we see every place, all over the world, every church. I pray that you will speak to hearts as only you can. If there be one here who's not saved, I pray they'll come. Let someone show them how to get saved today. I pray for Christians who may have kind of a spirit of a renegade. I pray that they'll not leave the work. They won't love the world. They'll put those things aside and they'll turn to you. I pray for people that may have run away from some things and not as reliable as they used to be. I pray they might come and say, I want to be restored. I want to be resourceful again. I want to get back to doing what I used to do for God. I pray they'll come today. And then I pray for those who are steadfast, always here, always doing, always giving, always praying, always serving. Give them an extra special blessing to keep on going regardless of what happens in our world. Now you bless the invitation time. Speak to hearts as only you can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the pianists begin to play in any of those areas I've covered, if God spoke to your heart, find your place at the altar today and let God speak to your heart. Only Luke is with me. Demas hath forsaken me. But bring Mark, he's profitable for the ministry. That's what the ministry is all about. It's about reaching the world with the gospel. Are you 100% sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? If not, you ought to come. Let someone show you how to get that settled. It'd be a shame to be in a missions conference where you're preaching about reaching sinners around the world and you would be right in the middle of the conference and not know Jesus. Oh, the woman at the well. Come see a man. Is not this the price? He's real. He's real. Can't serve until you get to know him. Only Luke is with me. Demas hath forsaken me because he loved the world. Loved the world, boy. So much he left the world. This mission stuff is serious business. We need some loops. We need some men, women, boys, and girls to say, I'm going to start strong, but I'm going to stay during the storm because I'm just going to be reliable because I'm steadfast. There's no turning back. It's all about Him.
You know, the Demas life and John Mark's life ought to wake us up. You're not talking about men who were heathens. You're talking about people who worshiped Christ, worked in the church, witnessed courageously, walked consistently, and then rebelled. That's what John Mark did. Demas just said, the world, I'm talking about a man that in Philemon, in Colossians, when Paul was writing, included them in his writing to the church, has to say in his last days, Demas has forsaken me. When the world makes us think that we're any better off than Demas, you start letting the world dip in a little bit at a time. Things of this life. Doesn't have to be sinful things. Just weights to carry you down. And you wake up justifying what you do sometimes. And God help us in these last days to realize there's a world out there that needs us. And God has chosen to use us through the church. Our Father, we're thankful for the portrait that we can see. And I know we've got some reliable people here, some resourceful people, but also been around long enough to know that every church has renegades. Every church has runaways. And runaways need to be reliable so they don't run. Renegades need to take their eyes off the world and keep their eyes on the Lord, that we might become reliable. Every servant is needed in the work of God. And may we see it like never before in these latter days in which we live. I do pray you save anyone who's lost. If any man, woman, boy, or girl, not to leave this building without asking someone to show me how to be saved. Thank you for the time we've had together today. Ask your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray.